Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news.
Thanks so much for tuning into Bravo Happy Hour. If you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Megan, and this show is basically the E! News, but for Bravo TV. New episodes are out every Monday and Thursday, so be sure to subscribe so that episodes automatically download to your phone. Just a reminder that if you're loving the show, head to Apple Podcasts and give me a 5-star rating and leave a little review. It's super helpful for the show and allows for other fellow Bravo lovers to find out about the show. Today's mini episode is a quickie. It is a solo ep. I'm bringing it back to the basics. I haven't done a mini episode, I think, in 13 episodes, which is surprising considering that's a lot of guests. But we are here to talk about the news, obviously, and let's just jump right into it. Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out obviously has been in the news the last few years, and obviously the past few months because of his breakup, but Jeff's lawsuit by his surrogate has finally been dropped. So if you guys don't remember, Alexandra Trent was the surrogate for his daughter Monroe, and she filed a lawsuit against him, Gage Edwards, and Bravo for humiliating her and dissing her vagina on national television, not to be incredibly crass. Alexandra was featured on the show having birth. She didn't realize that the cameras were going to be in the room while she was actually delivering Monroe, and they were, and Jeff made like really disgusting comments about her body, so naturally she sued. Jeff vagina shamed her, and he said the phrase, which I hate that I even have to say this again, if I was a surrogate and I had known that there was going to be an audience, I probably would have waxed, but that was the shocking part for Gage. I don't think Gage had ever seen a vagina, let alone one that big. So, again, we all know Jeff Lewis has never been near a vagina. So you'd think that, I don't even know what to say. I get so caught up with this because it's so disgusting. Like, you'd think that, like, the person who's, like, giving you a child, you'd be a little bit more gracious towards. But obviously it's Jeff Lewis, and he is no such thing. So they have decided to settle outside of court. Who knows what that means, but it probably means that Jeff found out how much Alexandra was kind of after and decided to just give her the money himself rather than having a judge have to deal with it. Because back in October, he was actually trying to get the court proceedings to be sealed because he didn't want all of the content of the lawsuit getting out to the public, which, again, kind of shows you that Jeff is probably doing shadier shit behind the scenes, and we just really don't know about it. But he also recently opened up about him getting dumped on his radio show. He said he was dating some chiropractor guy, and he said they went on 3 dates. After Jeff talked about him on the radio show, he ended up dumping him because he was like, dude, I explicitly told you, please do not talk about me on your radio show or in public. And naturally, Jeff doesn't listen to anybody in his life and did whatever the fuck he wanted and has landed himself alone yet again. However, I don't think Jeff will have an issue finding love. So staying in California, Kelly Dodd from The Real Housewives of OC took to Twitter this week and shared a photo of herself with her ex-boyfriend, Michael Avenatti, joking that she dodged a bullet when she broke up with the attorney in February of last year. So if you guys don't know who Michael Avenatti is, he's the biggest stunt queen on like legal Fox News, CNN bullshit. He was a lawyer who actually represented the adult film actress Stormy Daniels in her lawsuit against President Trump in an attempt to void a NDA that she had signed. So he's been in the news like crazy recently, and it's so funny that Kelly Dodd is now admitting the fact that they dated for 4 months. So she is so funny. She posted a picture on Twitter of just a picture of her, Michael, and like another one of their friends. And she said, I can't believe I dated Michael Avenatti. I dodged a bullet on that one. Oh my God. So on March 25th, if you guys don't know, he was accused of extortion after he allegedly tried to extort $20 million from Nike in exchange for not going public with what he described as damaging information about the shoe company. This guy is ridiculous. I remember he was potentially going to be running for president in 2020. And I'm really glad that that's no longer a thing. I just love the fact that Kelly Dodd somehow ended up with him. They dated for 4 months and they broke up like right before Valentine's Day. Just, it cracks me up. She is amazing. I like love how like open and willing she is to just like talk about the men she's dating and like has like no qualms about like being with a bunch of different guys and just having fun. I think that's kind of the way she should be. She's my goal. So OC is currently shooting season 14. We don't know the date of the upcoming season, but it will probably be back at some point this summer. But actually, Shannon Bedore turned 55 this past week, and this past Saturday, she had an all-cast celebration. Megan King Edmonds flew in from St. Louis, which, again, like, I just don't understand why she's doing this. Like, you have a whole family and life in St. Louis. Why are you trying to be a housewife of Orange County when, like, you don't live there? I think they have a house in Orange County still. However, your kids are at St. Louis. Just be with your kids and, like, get over the idea of, like, being on this show. It just seems like she really should just watch her kids and, like, go to sleep, to quote Bethany Frankel. So, supposedly after the filming of the birthday celebration, Shannon and a few housewives and a couple other people headed to the Belly Up, which I think is, like, a venue for music in the OC, and it was a ticketed event and there was some cover band, and I guess they showed up 30 minutes until closing time, so people were actually leaving and gave them their tickets, and they were told they actually couldn't come in, and then the manager had to call and said that they were trespassing, and then they had to threaten to call the police to get them to leave. So that is so amazing. I can only imagine, like, I wish that was actually being filmed. Like, I doubt that any real drama happened at Shannon's party. However, I would love to see them getting kicked out of, like, a cover band, probably for, like, what's Bret Hart's, not Bret Hart, Bret Michaels' band. Bret Michaels, was he Poison? My Wi-Fi isn't working, but Poison, yes, I was right. Yeah, it was probably a Poison cover band or something, like some hair metal. Because Shannon is, like, a DL, like, rock chick, which I love. Oh, my God. I could just honestly see them getting kicked out of this bar, and that really excites me. That's what I want to see more than pretty much anything else that has ever aired on OC in the past, like, 6 years. Well, moving to something totally different, Below Deck star Caroline Bedal. If you guys don't remember, we keep talking about her kind of ad nauseum. I don't know why she keeps coming up in the news, but here I am to report. So she has kind of been going through it since she was fired from Below Deck. So back on episode 18, we reported that she had to have, like, wellness checks at her house in Connecticut because she was tweeting all this crazy shit about, you know, self-harm, whatever. So now Caroline has been telling Radar Online with an exclusive interview, which I kind of find all of this like so exploitative. Like, this woman is clearly in need of genuine help, and yet news sources like Radar Online are like, yeah, let's take an exclusive with her. She says, I'm not looking for a homeless shelter to stay in, but I am homeless in the sense that I am between homes. I'm not sure where I'm going to be landing geographically. You get motels or hotels wherever you can. You sleep in your car when it's warm. Ooh. So that's really dark. Obviously, it was just back in January that the police had made this welfare check on her house. So I guess, you know, maybe she's not living there. I know her parents kicked her out of the house that they were living in Connecticut. And now this. So she actually put in her Instagram bio, like, her PayPal information so you could send her money. I don't know. I just feel like we shouldn't be sending her money. And again, like, I smoke pot. I don't judge that. But you just see her, like, ripping cigs and, like, smoking mad weed on her videos. It's like, well, what is this money going towards? Like, I don't know. It's like, it seems a little odd to just, like, give your money to, like, a stranger on the internet because, like, maybe she's having, like, a rough go at it. But I really wish she would, like, delete her social media and realize, like, she doesn't really need to have this type of connection with her quote-unquote fans. So she also revealed to Radar Online that she had thoughts of killing herself from the day she left the boat until halfway through the airing of the season. And that's really sad. And obviously, she's going through a lot. She had mentioned on the show that her mom was going through early onset dementia. And that's obviously incredibly difficult to see happening in front of you. So there's probably more to what's going on with Caroline than just, like, her time on the show. But just, I guess, keep her in your thoughts because I feel bad for the poor girl. And I don't know. Also, like, her phone is really old. Like, like, that's besides the point. But she has, like, this grainy old, like, phone where she's doing these Instagram stories. And every time I ever go on Instagram, it's always like, Caroline Badal is going live. Just don't click it. Don't click it. I feel like we're feeding the beast when people engage and people ask her, like, insensitive questions on the live shows, and I don't know, the whole thing is weird, but it made me upset when I heard that she was thinking of killing herself when she left this situation. And, you know, reality TV is known to be, you know, not always the best for your mental health. However, it's sad when it kind of gets to this point. But moving on to other insane people, Don't Be Tardy stars Kim Zolciak and Brielle Bierman are reportedly being re-signed for an eighth season of Don't Be Tardy after reportedly receiving some major pay raises. So this is insane. Kim Zolciak is currently making $1.15 million for season 7. And supposedly, this is crazy, she's going to be bumped up to $1.8 million a season if they get picked up for an eighth season. It's not confirmed by Bravo that they have been picked up. And all over the internet, ratings have people have been saying that the ratings have been shit. So it's interesting that they're potentially getting another season. Also, back on episode 28, we talked about how Kim owes $250K to American Express in back payments. So you'd think if you were pulling in $1.15 million, you'd be able to pay at least the minimum of your credit card bill every month. However, it's Kim Zolciak, and she's buying, like, her 8-year-old son, like, a Fendi backpack that costs, like, $2,000. Like, she needs some perspective on money and life. And Brielle, her oldest daughter, she this kills me considering I work, like, a full-time job. So currently Brielle is making $16K an episode, and for season 8 she's going to be making $250,000, which is really hard to hear considering she, like, doesn't really do anything, has no drive, has no, like, know anything. I don't know. It's kind of hard watching her grow up on the show. Like, we see her on Don't Be Tardy, like, try to rent an apartment, and she's like, oh, $6,500 is a reasonable amount of money for, like, a one bedroom in Atlanta. Like, in what world? Like, in what world? Let's do 6,500 times 12. That's $78,000 a year in rent. She has no idea what $78,000 is really like or how hard it is to actually make that money. You know, this gravy train of Instagram posts and flat tummy tea payments will be ending probably in 10 years. So I wish she would be a little bit more conscious about spending and realize, like, this type of lifestyle, like, is really hard to maintain. And when you don't have, you know, tangible skills or, like, any intelligence, it's pretty difficult to secure the bag for the rest of your life. Don't Be Tardy Season 7 is airing on Fridays at 9 p.m. on Bravo, so definitely check that if you want. It's actually a pretty good show. I wish I could be with the people who say they don't watch it or boycott it, because I do watch it. Like, I don't know. I watch it. I'm ashamed. I know. It's embarrassing. Moving on to other people who should be ashamed of their behavior. Thomas Ravenel from Southern Charm obviously is in a really gnarly custody battle with ex-girlfriend Catherine Dennis, and they've been going back and forth between the custody of their two children, Kenzie and Saint. And Thomas revealed in one of the most recent trials that the worst mistake of my life was agreeing to be the star of the reality show Southern Charm. It amplified my past notoriety, showcased my wealth I accumulated through decades of hard work, and made me a walking target for men and women eager to get in front of the camera. Most importantly, it caused embarrassment and pain to my parents, my sisters, and my children. So I'm going to take that step by step, and we can kind of dig through this. So the first sentence is, the worst mistake of my life was agreeing to be the star of a reality show. So first and foremost, you were never the star. Second, you've literally assaulted people, have smuggled drugs across borders. You know, you've done a lot of really shitty things. And he said, the worst mistake of my life was Southern Charm. Like, just because you're now on television, yeah, it means your indiscretions are amplified, but you did the bad things to make this situation shitty for you. Like, I hate that. Like, oh, Southern Charm ruined my life. It's like, no, babe, you did. Second sentence, it amplified my past notoriety, showcased my wealth I accumulated through decades of hard work. The showcasing my wealth I accumulated is the part that really hurt me, considering he's a trust fund baby. And we see, like, he never had a real job. He was, like, the treasurer of South Carolina, but again, was taken out of office because of the fact that he was dealing coke and smuggling, like, pounds of coke and got caught. And then he finishes up saying, made me the walking target for men and women eager to get in front of the camera. Which, hey, I think that comes with the territory when you're going on reality TV. Like, Ashley Jacobs probably wouldn't have been so smitten in love with you if you didn't happen to also come with a TV show. And then he says, most importantly, it caused embarrassment to my parents, my sisters, and my children. First and foremost, again, your previous actions probably also caused embarrassment and pain towards your family. And the things that you're doing to cause embarrassment for your children, like, that's your problem. I hate this idea that you're blaming the show for your behavior. Your children will see how you acted because that's who you are. Like, let's not forget about that, buddy. So last November, he actually filed a lawsuit against Bravo, a part of the custody battle, just demanding that Bravo and Southern Charm producers would not be able to broadcast any unaired footage of him in future episodes. I'm not sure how that lawsuit actually ended up turning out, and I wonder how Southern Charm is actually going to handle all of this. It should be pretty interesting. And obviously, Bravo has a way of not talking about any of the legal issues people are in, which, I mean, I understand because it's, like, in the courts and it's going to get messy if this is being aired on television. However, this is, like, a main plot point for Catherine and the entire group of friends. Like, when one of their friends is, like, allegedly, like, a rapist, like, you might have to talk about it on the TV show for people to, believe that these shows actually showcase, like, any truth of, like, what's happening in these people's lives besides the narratives that they want to put out there. He also says Bravo and Catherine will be at liberty to control the public narrative of this litigation and shape the story as it suits them, and my children will bear the shame of being fathered by a man the public believes is a monster, an abuser, and a narcissist. Like, these are all you problems, Thomas. Like, again, like, you're a monster on screen, and that shows regardless of what Catherine ever did. You're an abuser. You abuse your children's babysitter. You don't think that's going to affect them? And you're a narcissist. Yeah, well, that kind of goes without saying. We all knew that once episode one showed. But this guy has some big balls, and I think he's probably going to go down. I don't know what I think will happen in terms of custody. I feel like he does have money, and the good old boys club in the South is still a real thing, and he comes from clout. So I don't know if the courts will side with Catherine fully because of that. However, I wish it was like he got them every other weekend and they lived full time with her. And obviously she had her issues with drugs and in the past, like that was obviously a major thing. But she's like on the up and up. She's starting like a whole beautiful new life. She has a new boyfriend that we talked about on a previous episode. And she like started this like children's furniture line and she's just fucking thriving. So she deserves to have those kids and to raise them properly. And you know what? We saw Thomas put those kids in the guest house because he didn't want them scuffing up the floors of his old house. That should tell you everything about his parenting, like his parenting choices. So I don't trust that motherfucker. Well, thank you so much for listening to this quick little mini episode. It's really fun. I do like doing them alone because I love to hear myself talk. Be sure to tune back in for Monday's episode where I'll have a guest. And yeah, again, if you really like the show, go to Apple Podcasts and just give me a 5-star rating. It's super appreciated. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you love the show, be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you have any hot takes, gossip, or info about Bravo TV, feel free to shoot me an email at bravohappyhourpod@gmail.com. While you're at it, make sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks so much for listening, and check back every Monday and Thursday for a new episode all about your favorite Bravo celebrities.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.